Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. One thing about President Obama's trip to Russia, Michelle Obama is getting covered much differently there than she did by the media in Europe. The Washington Post reports today that while in Europe they fawned over her clothing and her general sense of style, the Russian press ignores all that but is giving her props for planting a White House garden and working it with her own hands. That, of course, comes in and around the little matter of global nuclear disarmament at the heart of the president's agenda. At his news conference with President Medvedev yesterday, and we'll hear how the president says that in a minute, he announced a partial deal.
We have signed a joint understanding for a follow-on treaty to the START agreement that will reduce our nuclear warheads and delivery systems by up to a third from our current treaty limitations. This legally binding treaty will be completed this year. We've also agreed on a joint statement on nuclear security cooperation that will help us achieve the goal of securing all vulnerable nuclear materials within 4 years.
President Obama at his news conference in Moscow yesterday. He's getting some pretty tough criticism from the American right, by the way, for giving up too much as they see it and for being naive about Russia and the nuclear world in general. So let's talk about it with arms control expert Jacqueline Shire, senior analyst at the Institute for Science and International Security. Besides Russia, she's expert in Iran and nuclear and North Korea's nuclear programs, which are definitely an undertone here. And also with us is Clifford Levy, the New York Times Moscow bureau chief. Clifford, welcome back. Jacqueline, welcome to WNYC. Good morning.
Thank you for having me.
Jacqueline, how do you say the name of the president of Russia?
I would say it Medvedev.
Clifford, how about you? You're the Moscow bureau chief.
She's pretty correct on that. You know, Mr. Obama had some trouble when he first got here with pronouncing it. And he also encountered a little trouble pronouncing or giving a proper title from Vladimir Putin. He's kind of flubbed that twice already now in two days.
He called him president. Oops. When he's really the prime minister, which technically is below president. But he's getting pretty good at Medvedev, I think. Listen.
President Medvedev, President Medvedev, President Medvedev, President Medvedev.
All right. He's getting there. He's getting there. He's only been there 2 days. Anyway, Jacqueline, they cut the number of nuclear warheads in this deal and also the number of what they're calling delivery vehicles, which is apparently even more significant and more controversial. Can you explain what these delivery vehicles are?
Well, delivery vehicles are anything from a submarine-launched ballistic missile to an intercontinental ballistic missile located in a silo in Iowa. So that's correct. Now, this agreement sets a fairly wide range of between 500 and 1,100 delivery vehicles.
And I love the term delivery vehicles, Clifford. It sounds like pizza trucks, but it's really missiles we're talking about here, right?
It's really missiles, and obviously this whole issue, all that they've been debating today, speaks to the kind of larger question of what Mr. Obama is trying to accomplish here, which is both reducing nuclear weapons in the United States and Russia, and then, as he says, it's setting an example for the rest of the world. He essentially feels that you can't demand non-proliferation in the rest of the world if the United States and Russia are keeping these enormous quantities of nuclear weapons.
And how many actual warheads would each country go down to under this agreement, Clifford?
They're going to go down to, Jacqueline, I'll defer to you on that, on the numbers. It's a range.
It's between 1,500 and 1,675, and
this
is down from about 2,200.
So, Jacqueline, you're the nuclear arms expert here. I'm sitting here as kind of a regular American thinking, wait, we're going to have 1,500 nuclear warheads, we're going to have 500 delivery vehicles, and this is supposed to represent some kind of... This is good news. How many nuclear weapons are we going to have to drop on anybody that this represents disarmament?
Right. Well, let's not call it disarmament yet, but it might be useful to remind your listeners where we began back as sort of at the end of the Reagan era buildup back in the early 90s. Remember when START 1 was concluded, we were talking about 10,000 warheads. So now, you know, we really are in a different place. We're not where we want to be, but the START treaty, which expires in December, which is sort of the action-forcing event for all of this, right? This is why we're kind of in a big hurry to get something done before December 5. Started at one place and now is bringing us down to 1,500. So we're not there where we want to be yet, but this is a significant step forward for the president to be making fairly early on in his tenure as president.
Let me read a little of the criticism of this deal from a representative conservative column today and get your reactions. And Clifford, I know you quoted John Bolton, the former Bush administration UN ambassador, saying some of the same things in the Times today. These come from Ralph Peters' column, who's a retired military man, in the New York Post. It's headlined, "Desperate Deal, Obama's Moscow Giveaway." And it says, "Moscow knows we aren't going to start a nuclear war with Russia. Putin wants to gut our conventional capabilities to stage globe-spanning military operations. Our problem is that many nuclear delivery systems, such as bombers or subs, are dual use. A B-2 bomber can launch nukes, but it's employed more frequently to deliver conventional ordnance." So he says, Clifford, that when we're talking about these delivery vehicles, they're not only used for nuclear weapons, so they're really trying to cut the United States military in general down to size, and Obama's given it to them. What would the president say to that critique?
I mean, I think that he would say at this point that there's more than enough delivery vehicles, and that, again, I'll just fall back on the kind of broader themes that he's discussing here. I really think, in some sense, he's much more concerned with Iran and North Korea at this point than he is with Russia, than he is with the sort of the basic arms control. Obviously, he's here to negotiate the arms control, but he fears, he feels that the fundamental threat is proliferation, and he feels that it's very difficult to actually push on Iran and North Korea if all these other issues are lingering there. And also, obviously, it's difficult to push on these issues if there's a lot of tension and friction between Russia and the United States. So one of his primary goals here was kind of tamping down on that tension. And it appears to some extent that he accomplished that.
And yet, Jacqueline, in that same Ralph Peters column, with respect to North Korea and Iran, it said, all our president got was some generalizations about North Korea and Iran, but no hard commitments. Russia, which designed many of Iran's nuclear facilities, wouldn't even promise to permanently deny Iran the sophisticated air defense systems that would make it harder to hit Tehran's nukes. What do you say to that?
Well, I would say that the time for repayment from Russia on Iran hasn't come yet. When the going gets tough with Iran, and maybe that's going to be later on in the fall or early winter, when and if negotiations break down, and remember, they haven't even started yet, I think that we would then, seek strong support from Russia, whether it's in the Security Council or for further sanctions. So I think that Obama is laying the groundwork here, and he seems to be doing it very adroitly, for perhaps cashing in at some future date on the subject of Iran.
And one more, Clifford. He writes, not least, Obama fell for the sucker offer of the year. The Russians will generously allow us to fly our troops and weapons through their airspace to Afghanistan. This ploy is utterly transparent. Putin intends to lull us into dependency on a trans-Russia supply route, giving him a free hand in Georgia, Ukraine, and elsewhere. Think Peter's got that right?
Well, I don't quite, to be honest with you, understand that logic. I mean, the fact is that what the Obama administration is trying to do is trying to diversify its supply routes into Afghanistan. And I don't think in any respect that they would want to be solely reliant on Russia for supplying Afghanistan or Russian airspace. What they want is as many choices as possible to try to get supplies and troops into Afghanistan, and this, I think, is part of that goal.
Does it make it tougher, though, for the U.S. to get tough on Russia with respect to Georgia and Ukraine if we're dependent on them for getting some supplies into Afghanistan?
Well, I mean, that's where they are right now. So all that would happen would be they would fall back to the current status, currently Russia is allowing essentially what's referred to as kind of non-military hardware to pass through Russia on its way to Afghanistan. Now they're increasing that. They're allowing troops to go fly through airspace and allowing sort of more military hardware. If things turn bad and Russia then denies that, then we're just back to where we are, you know, on July 1st.
Jacqueline Shire, so it's not really a change in that respect. Jacqueline Shire, 30 seconds. In the best case, but not completely pie-in-the-sky scenario, where are we in terms of nuclear arms control at the end of the Obama administration?
Well, the big document that everyone's waiting for is this thing called the Nuclear Posture Review, and this is a congressionally mandated document, and it's going to be the Obama administration's opportunity to articulate where we're headed. Are we going to make good on our Article 6 commitments under the Nonproliferation Treaty, go for general and complete disarmament? There's a big movement supporting that, Global Zero, a few others, and this document is going to sort of set forward a strategic vision for that, and that, in turn, is going to help us get perhaps lower than this sort of floor that we've set of 1,500.
So it's just the beginning of what could be a very interesting anti-nuclear process. Jacqueline Shire, arms control expert, Clifford Levy from The Times. Thanks a lot.